fact, I was just talking to Bob Lindsay the other day, and he was telling me about Hebrews and how he's been blessed in the book of Hebrews, and ran into him at Walmart. And Hebrews is a great, great book, and a lot of people don't understand it, unfortunately. And I preached all through this book, but I'm going to do a message that will start with Hebrews and include other scripture. But in Hebrews 3, 5 through 19 that we read, there's a repetition of the thought that I want to emphasize today in two different verses. One is verse 6 and the other is verse 14. Verse 6 in Hebrews 3 says, "Whose house are we if we hold fast the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end?" And then in verse 14, the writer also records these words, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Now, these verses in chapter 3 of Hebrews remind me of two verses in 1 Corinthians 15. I'll read them. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel," that means the good news, "which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." Then it says, "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain." Now, the same thought. Paul is writing here to members of the Corinthian church to tell them, like Saul of Tarsus was writing to the Hebrews. He was writing to the Corinthian church to tell them that they had heard the preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which provided them with the wonderful good news of the gift of an eternal salvation. The Bible is all about good news. You hear a lot of bad news. If you listen to the fake news, you hear bad news. And if you listen to the news, you still hear some bad news. But I'm so thankful we preach the gospel. And that is God's good news. And it's about Jesus Christ and Him coming and dying and being buried, but being raised from the dead and conquering death. And He gives us the gift of eternal life. But He adds one warning if people claim to have believed upon Christ. And here's the warning. He says, "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now, let me give you an illustration of what I believe he meant there in Hebrews and in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. I was out visiting the other day, and I went to visit, and I was praying for an opportunity to give the gospel, because I was visiting a lot of people, inviting them on the bus, and so forth and so on. And as I was winding up in one particular area visiting, I was coming back to my car, and I see this lady standing on the porch, and I recognized her as somebody I'd talked to before, and I thought to myself, and I prayed actually, and said, "God, if you want me to talk to her and ask her two spiritual questions, you just make her stay on that porch and let me get there." And he did. She stayed there. And not only did she stay there, she was very open and welcoming to talk to me. And so I went up to talk to her, and I asked her if I could ask her two brief spiritual questions. Actually, I think I just did the one question, which was, if you were to die today and stand before God, and he said to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" what would you say? And that's a very important question that you need to answer. And I wanted to see what she would say. And she said something like, "Well, I'm a pretty good person. I've lived a good life. And I believe I will get in because of how I've lived my life." And basically, on a scale of 1 to 10, she felt like she was in the better half of that. And so she thought she'd get into heaven. Of course, that's not how you get into heaven. It's not how you're saved. If you're going to get in that way, you'd have to be 100% perfect. And even then, you're born with Adam's sin, so you can't make it. And so that's not how you're saved. That's not the good news. And of course, I knew that, and I thought about that. And then I realized as I went through the gospel with her, and she received the gift of eternal life, she professed to receive it by simple faith at that point. But then I remembered, hey, I've talked to you before. I remember on this porch before asking you those two questions, and I remember before you giving me the wrong answer. I didn't say all this to her, but I'm telling you that I remembered all that before. And then she made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ before. But yet here I see her a year later. I ask her the same question on the same porch, and it's the same pastor, and she had no clue. She didn't keep in memory what she had claimed to believe, which shows me exactly what we are saying here, that a person that can't even keep it in memory has believed in vain. In other words, their faith is a dead faith. Their faith is just an intellectual understanding that's temporary, and then it goes right out of their head, and it goes right out because it never was in their heart. They never trusted the Lord with the help of the Holy Spirit from the heart, and therefore they have not received truly the gift of salvation. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about the proof of your salvation. Can you think of anything more important? You want to know. I remember when we did mathematic problems, we'd go 50 plus 20 plus 30 plus 20 plus 16 plus this, and come up with the answer. And then the teacher would say, now add it the other way from the bottom to the top and prove it. And if you agree, then you got it right, you know. And so we would do that. There are ways in math for you to prove whether you got it right. And also, being saved, there is a way to prove that you got it right when you first believed upon Christ or claimed to believe upon Christ. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The message is the proof of your salvation. And I want you to be sure that you have salvation. And number one, and I'm going to give you three things about this, but number one, the proof of your salvation is shown in the three tenses of your salvation. So that's what I want to talk to you about. First of all, if you've truly been saved from the final judgment day, where there's no condemnation, where you're not going to stand before Christ and he's going to read all your sins and then have an angel cast you into the lake of fire and you'll be in there forever. If you've been truly saved from that, then you are saved in three senses of the word. And let me say this, there are three tenses of your salvation. First of all, there is the past tense, then there is the present tense, and then there is the future tense of your salvation. So let me look first of all at the past tense of your salvation. You have been saved. If you are saved, listen to me, you have been saved. And you have been saved from the what? Penalty of your sin. There is no condemnation. When Christ died on the cross about 2,000 years ago, he died for the sins of every person that will trust in him or that did trust in him in the Old Testament. He died for every one of those sins. He was judged for every one of those sins. He had no sin of his own, unlike Adam and everybody since Adam. Christ was totally innocent. So he was having imputed to his account all of the sins of all of the people that did trust or would trust in Jesus Christ by faith, by simple faith, to save them. And the moment, listen to me, that you believed, I believe it was June the 16th on a Friday, 1967. I believed the good news about Christ through simple faith. And at that moment, I was saved from the penalty of all my sin. From that time on, I've not been under the wrath of God. From that time on, I've not been condemned at the bar of the justice of God. From that time on, I have gone from being in the family of Satan to being in the family of God. From that time on, I've gone from being an enemy of God to being a friend of God. God is for me. He's not against me. Why? Because I believed upon him. And that is something that you can say if you are a believer in the Lord, that I have been saved from the penalty of my sin. Past tense. But secondly, the second tense of salvation is you are being saved from the power of your sin. Present tense. You are, if you were saved from the penalty, at the same time, you were and are right now, present tense, being saved from the power of your sin. Let me illustrate. When I got married to my lovely wife, who's here today, thank God for my wife. I love to spend time with my wife, and what a blessing it is. We get too little time together as far as I'm concerned. When we got married, I remember I was living in a bachelor pad next door, and we would catch mice and put them in traps, and it was a gross place. And I was living with another bachelor, and it was not too cool, over there on Madison Avenue. When I got married to my wife, when we said our vows, and I said I do, and she said I do, we were married. That made all the difference. And I went home and now lived next door to the bachelor pad. And I went in there, and she had fixed that place up and put the ladies' touch in there. She moved in, and it was nice. And I got out of the shower that first day, you know, and I went to clean my hands, dry my hands, and dry myself. And my wife goes, no. Well, you brought up in a barn? She didn't say that. She didn't say that. But he said, those are decorative. These are the towels you use. Oh, yes, ma'am. In other words, we were legally married, but now she moved in. And that made all the difference in my life. The moment you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not only are you saved from the penalty of your sin, but now you are joined to Him, just like my wife and I became one the moment we said our vows, and she moved in. Now we are one spirit with the Lord, and so guess what? The Lord moves into your dead spirit by the Holy Spirit, and you are alive unto God with the Spirit. And Colossians 1, 5, and 6 says this, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. In other words, when my wife and I became one, she moved in, and that made all the difference. And when you became one with Jesus Christ, He moved into you by the Spirit, and He made all the difference. Now, if any man, you could check out your salvation, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? None of his. He's not his. And so did you receive the Spirit the moment you believed? Everybody that truly believed, if they didn't believe in vain, they received the Spirit. That's why you can keep in memory how you were saved. And if you're confused about it, the Holy Spirit will help you to come back to how you were saved. And it's by grace, through simple faith. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, my friend. And if you've got a work salvation, the Bible says, though I or an angel of heaven preach any other God, let him be accursed. It's not the truth of God. And so the Holy Spirit will help you keep it in memory. I was talking to a guy. He was a former Presbyterian. Now he's a Roman Catholic. He's now the headmaster, the principal of a Catholic Christian school down the road. But he is not saved the right way. So he's not saved. He's not saved. And I graciously got to talk to him. And his name is John. Pray for him that he sees what I said to him. But I'm just saying, when you believed on Christ, you became one with Him the moment you believed. Not only do you have a home in heaven that's waiting for you, but now you've got fruit down here because you're one with Christ. Now, some folks have believed on Christ. They get saved not when they get baptized in water, but when they believe. But now they'll come forward today and be baptized in water. They'll be baptized in water by our children's church preacher, Brother Joe, our deacon. Baptized in water. Well, they're going to go under the water, and hopefully Brother Joe will bring them back up. and they'll come up out of the water. Now, baptism is a picture of the result of when you got married to Christ, the moment you believe that you're joined to Him. That means that when Christ died on the cross, not only did He die for your sins, but you died with Him. You say, what are you talking about? I died with Him. As far as what you were when you were born. Now you're born again. So you died with Him as far as what you were in Adam, condemned, sinner, separated from God, unable to please God. And now you rose with Christ to a new realm, and now you're alive with Christ's life. And so what am I saying? I'm saying that baptism pictures that present tense, you are still joined to Christ, and you are therefore being saved from the power of your sin. You see, your sin might want you to fornicate, but the Lord sends His word and His spirit says, no, you're not to fornicate. You say, well, what if I don't listen to His word and I am a child of God and I just fornicate anyway? Then get ready to get spanked. Because He will spank His own children. And if you're not spanked, there's a strong word in the Bible, the King James Bible, it says you are a bastard and not a child. You are not born of the Father God. And so I am just simply saying you have to understand the proof of your salvation. It's by grace through faith, but it's the penalty in the past that you've been saved from, never to be under the penalty. But in the present, you are being saved from the power of your sinful nature. And He's so concerned about it, He will spank you. He will deal with you if you do not listen to His message of salvation from the power of your old nature. And that is the second thing. And then there is a third tense of salvation. You were saved from the penalty of your sin. You are being saved from the power of your sin. But you will be saved in the future from the presence of your sin. Isn't that great? God's gospel takes care of sin. It takes care of the penalty of your sin. It takes care of the power of your sin now. And it will take care of the presence of sin. You will not have to deal with the devil forever. You will not have to deal with temptation anymore. You will not have to deal with sin anymore. You will not have to deal with sickness anymore. You will not have to deal with death anymore. Because Jesus Christ brought life, that's eternal life, and light. And life and immortality, I'm sorry, to light through the gospel. What's immortality? That is, your body is going to be changed. Or if it dies before it gets changed, it's going to be raised up and made perfect. It's going to be an immortal body. Right now you live in a mortal body. People ask me, how you doing? And you know what I say, Armani? I say, I'm doing gloriously in a mortal body. And that gets them thinking a little bit. I'm doing gloriously in a mortal body. My wife said, that's too heavy. You shouldn't be saying. Well, I still say it. I'm doing gloriously in a mortal body. And you see, I will one day no longer have a mortal body. I'll have an immortal body. I sit out now. My knee, it's a little bit straight. I don't know. I got some problem in my knee. It's a little tight. I have to walk around before I feel good in the knee. But there'll be a day, man, I'll be kicking. I won't have a knee need. I won't need a knee brace. I'll be flying, friends, and so will you, because of the three tenses of salvation. You say, how do you know? Because Christ is raised from the dead. He's got an immortal body, and we're going to be just like Him. And the Bible says these words about future salvation. I'll read it. It says, and because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endures until the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24:12-13. Let me say that again. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Is that teaching us that for us to be saved from hell and go to heaven, that we have to endure till the end? No. That enduring to the end is the proof of the fact that you're already saved from hell, that you will endure from hell. from the end. And that is an important teaching that you need to understand that is in the Bible, that everybody that believes in Christ is saved from the penalty of the sin in the past, in the presence of the sin, and the power of it in the present, and then in the future will be saved from the presence of sin. And the Bible says that the iniquity is going to get so great in this world that people's love is going to get colder and colder. And people are going to turn away from the Lord. And they're going to turn away from their profession of faith. And they're going to go back into the world. And even it's going to get so bad that, by the way, I'm a little scared of this real ID. I've been studying it out. And it's tied up with something more than what you think. It's tied up with CBDC and with Bill Gates. And CBDC is a central bank digital currency. And the Red Chinese are already doing it, the communists. And it will be that the goal is to have everybody's money under one digital currency, all electronic. And so if you don't do what they want, they'll take it away. They also want to now get with the real ID, it's tied up, listen to me, real ID is tied up with passports that they want to have a vaccine mandate on the passport, but it's really not a vaccine. It's to poison your body with spike protein. These vaccines are killers. They're injecting cancer into you and other things, okay? And so I'm just simply saying, thank God that He hears our prayers and He helps us with government leaders. Thank God for some good things that are happening right now in answer to prayer, and we pray that would continue. But there is coming a time when the whole world is going to be under a central bank digital currency. You won't be able to buy or sell. And at that time, it's called the Great Tribulation, you'll be required to worship a man. Worship one man, and that will be led by a false Christ, and he'll have you worship the false dictator. And unless you worship that man, you will not be able to buy or sell, and you will not have the mark in your hand or in your forehead so that you could buy or sell. Now, what does that mean? That means that he that endures till the end of that period, it will last for under 3.5 years. He that endures to the end does not get the mark of that man and is a believer. That person will be saved by Christ coming and taking us out of here and rescuing us right out of the hands of these globalists. I can't stand what these globalists are doing. They're trying to kill people. I believe a lot of sicknesses, including COVID, was launched. Do you know that Lyme's disease, how many have heard of Lyme's disease? Attacks the brain and everything. Do you know that that was on an island outside of Lyme, Connecticut? And after World War II, they brought all these Nazis and put them on that island. And guess what they did? They did what Fauci did. He's a modern-day Nazi. They did gain-of-function research. And you know what they did? They took a germ of syphilis. How many know what syphilis is? And they put it on a tick. And then they said deer carried it over from that island to Lyme, Connecticut. That's a lie. The Nazis, they launched it on the American people. And so what you've got, if you've got Lyme disease, is syphilis. And I'm saying it attacks the brain. And that's why they say get penicillin right away if you have one of those. I'm just simply saying to you that Jesus said that we're going to have more and more of these pandemics, these pestilences that are going to be done by globalists. And he says that you will be saved out of this world when Jesus comes back. It's not a great, big, wonderful world that we live in. We need the Lord to come the second time. Not to save us from the penalty of sin. We're already being saved from the power of sin. But to save us even from the presence of sin. And to bring us to safety. And so you have to realize in the proof of your salvation that you're saved in three senses or three tenses, number one. Number two, it is shown, the proof of your salvation, in the perseverance of the saints. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? How many have ever read Pilgrim's Progress? It's a great book written by John Bunyan. And in The Pilgrim's Progress, the pilgrim who's traveling to the celestial city after he got saved out of the city of destruction, and now he's on the road to the celestial city, which pictures us if we've been saved, past tense. We're now on the road to heaven, and we're going to get there, but that we go through many dangers. And he went to a castle called Interpreter's Castle. And when he got to Interpreter's Castle, the pilgrim saw there a big wall of like a sheet. And behind that sheet, he saw the prince. And in front of that sheet, he saw a fire burning. And in front of that fire, trying to put it out was the enemy. And he was trying to throw cold water in that fire, and he just kept throwing. And the fire would go down, but it would spring back up. It would go down, and it would spring back up. Does anybody know why it sprang back up? I'll tell you. You know. I'll tell you. Behind that curtain was the prince who represents Jesus. And he was feeding oil into that fire on the other side of the curtain. He just kept feeding oil, and it kept making it fire. So the water couldn't put it out. That is the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. That every true believer in Christ, he keeps feeding you the oil of the Holy Spirit. So no matter what the world throws at you, no matter what Satan throws at you, and it seems like your fire is going to go out, it seems like your faith is going to go out, it seems like you can't go on, you will go on, because he causes you to persevere in a state of grace. And what is a state of grace? It's where you have the desire and the power to keep living for the Lord. Even when you feel like I'm done with it, I can't do it anymore, I give up, too many problems, he keeps feeding it. If you don't have that, then you don't have the full grace of God. You don't have salvation. That's what true salvation is. It's the perseverance. Not only is it three tenses of salvation, but it is the perseverance of the saints. And I like to say it this way. It's the perseverance of the Savior. You see, because he's able to save unto the uttermost, the Bible says, because he's alive, he's in heaven, he's praying for us. He's able to save you to the uttermost if you've become his believer in Christ. He is still saving you and working in your life by giving you the grace of God to live this Christian life all the way through, and that is called the perseverance of the saints. Now, the Apostle Peter spoke about this, and actually the Lord told Peter, look, Peter, Satan wants you not to persevere. He wants you to prove to be like Judas, a hypocrite. And so he has desired to sift you as wheat. And what does that mean? When they would sift wheat, they would take a stick and beat on the wheat in the threshing floor. And when the wheat was beat on, there was the chaff, which was worthless, and light, and the kernel of wheat that they used for bread and so forth, and was heavier, and they would separate when they were being beat upon. Now, Satan was beating upon Peter, trying to get him to be like chaff that would separate from the wheat. Then they would take a fork and winnow it. They would take a pitchfork and throw it up in the air like this. And when they threw it up in the air, the wind would blow through the barn and would blow away what? The chaff, because it was lighter than the wheat, and the wheat would come down, and they'd throw it up again, and all the chaff would be blown away. Satan, Jesus said, Peter, he wants you to be blown away from the apostles like Judas was, to be blown away because you are chaff, you are not really saved. And he wants to prove that, Peter. Even though Peter denied him three times, Peter was not chaff, he was wheat. You know what Jesus said, why he would not be chaff and why he would not be blown away and why he would persevere in the faith? Because of what? Jesus said, I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not. Do you know why your faith doesn't fail? It's because Jesus is praying for you if you're a true child of God. He's at the right hand of the Father right now. He's praying. And everything that Satan can throw at you might be thrown at you. And your faith would definitely fail and flicker and go out. But Jesus keeps praying and feeding that faith so that you can keep going for God. Not everybody that says they believe. Not everybody. Don't believe the words of everybody. Words are cheap. I'm talking about the proof of your salvation, which is the perseverance, not only of the saints, but of the Savior. And by the way, here's what Peter wrote about this in 2 Peter. He says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He's talking about people that say they're saved, but are really not. They heard the gospel. They understood intellectually the gospel. They said they believed it, but they didn't really believe it in their heart. He said that these people, they are entangled therein and overcome. He said the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21. What could be better? I'm just simply saying to you, these people are not saved. And so because they heard it and didn't really get it, and they went back now to the world and were overcome by the world and live in the world, they are in a worse state than if they never heard it. Judas is worse off in hell than if he never would have been an apostle. Because Judas was never saved. He didn't lose his salvation. He never had it. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose a false profession. And that's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we're teaching this morning. And so I'm just simply saying that I know a preacher friend of mine, Dr. Jack Hiles. I went on two trips with him. He was up at a hotel in Dallas, Texas. And while he was there, this lady was operating the elevator. She was all agag and agog because she'd been kissed by Elvis Presley. And he said, when did that happen? She's like, just happened up there. And so he went up there, Jack Hiles. He was recording a sermon for his radio broadcast. And he ran into Elvis. He said he was a very polite young man from Tupelo, Mississippi, a southern young man. Very polite, spoke very, very nicely. And he asked, you know, Elvis if he'd been saved. And Elvis said, "Oh, yeah, I remember I was saved such and such a date back." He gave the date, the church, what happened, and I was saved. He said, why are you living like you're living then? He said, "Well, I just couldn't take it. The rule, I'm going to get rid of this." Can you hear me? Yeah, it's better. He said, I couldn't take the lifestyle. Well, that's what Peter said. They turned from the commandment. Turn from the Word of God. And what happened to Elvis Presley? Well, he lived a life of a fornicator. He lived the life of a drug addict. And people say, well, he died early. Maybe that was God chastening him. No, most of these rock guys, Michael Jackson, the king of rock, he died young too. He had the same drug stuff. You see, salvation means that you're saved from the penalty of your sin, but you are being saved from the power of your sin and one day from the presence of your sin. And I'm saying to you that it is important that you understand that there is the perseverance of the saints going on in your life, and that is a blessing to have that perseverance of the saints going on in your life. But I want to get to a third thing, and the proof of your salvation is shown in the assurance of your calling and your election. The proof of your salvation is shown in you getting an assurance of your calling and election. Now, what do I mean by calling? Calling means that not only did you hear the gospel,
with your physical ears, but the Lord opened your spiritual ears. So that, what did he say? My sheep, what? Hear my voice. So you hear the voice of Christ in the gospel, and you're responding to Christ and accepting. That means you're called personally by Christ. Not just you heard the gospel, but you got called, and you responded to that call. Because he let you hear. He opened your ears to hear. He that has ears to hear. And your election means that even before you heard the gospel, he chose that you would respond to the gospel. He chose that you would receive his call, or you would have never responded. You would have been so stubborn you never would have got it. Now, you need to be assured that you have his calling and election. And Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 1:10. He said, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence," listen, "to make your calling and election what? Sure." In other words, make sure that you really have the grace of God. Because everybody's totally depraved. Tulip, everybody's totally depraved. We have to be unconditionally elected by God. You, to you. L, there's a limited atonement. The atonement pays for the sins of everybody that will believe. And then irresistible grace, God enables you to believe. And perseverance of the saints means that he will keep you saved and keep you in a state of grace so that you can live for him in this world to one degree or another. And listen, to be fully assured that you're one of the ones favored by God's grace and saved, that means that God is working in your life in this way. And here I'll read it from the book of Jude. It says, "But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." You see, Jude verses 20 and 21 was written to apostates. Or it was written about apostates. Now, here's what it is. You've heard of the Acts of the Apostles, right? That's in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. That's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles of Christ. But this in Jude is the actions or acts of the apostates. And what is an apostate? Somebody that claims to believe in Christ, had a head faith in Christ, maybe joined the church, maybe got baptized, but they fall away from that. They go totally away. They go back into the world. They're overtaken by the world. Or perhaps they don't even remember how a person gets saved, and they become an apostate. That means they now stand away from the faith. I've seen apostates, amen. And I don't want to see apostates, and I don't want people to be an apostate. And the Bible says, make sure, listen to me, that you're proving that I'm not an apostate. I am truly saved. Well, how do you do that? Number one, by building yourself up on your most holy faith. You say, how do I do that? You're in church today hearing the Word of God. You're hearing about the true faith in all of its fullness. You read and study the Word of God. I've studied the book of Romans and understand salvation. You study the Word of God. You build yourself up on your most holy faith. You get into a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church so that your faith is fed. And you're strong in faith. Why? Because everybody doesn't have faith. The world out there is not going to feed your faith. The world out there is not going to encourage your faith. So why spend all your time there in the world? If you get saved, when I got saved at 17, I was 17, Armani, your age, I believe. I got saved by believing on Christ. I got born again. Guess what? Even though church was boring to a lot of kids, I wanted to go there. Why? Because I wanted to feed that new faith that I had. I was building myself. You ever heard of bodybuilding? You know, people do bodybuilding. That's all right. You can do bodybuilding. But don't do too much of it. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Secondly, pray in the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? You need to pray more. Not only read the Bible, but pray more. Turn off the whatever it is, Facebook or whatever, and get some time in prayer. Go walk and pray to God and have the Holy Spirit help you to pray. Come to prayer meeting and pray. And pray for the power of the Holy Ghost so that people will not just have dead faith and head faith, but people will really get born again. They'll really get saved. And then they'll be saved from the penalty of sin. And they'll keep getting saved from the power of their sinful nature. And then one day they'll be saved at the rapture. I'm saying pray for the Holy Ghost power. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What does that mean? Well, when the sun is shining, I told my wife, she was sick with a bronchitis. Hey, kids, listen back there. Hey, you girls, listen back there. Look up here. Look at me. Yeah, I'm preaching to you. When my wife was sick with the, bronchitis, pneumonia, I told her, honey, get some vitamin D. I gave her a vitamin D today to chew, but I said, just get out in the sun. And you know what? How do you keep yourself in the love of God? The love of God is like the sun. It's shining, but you got to get out in the sun. And you get out in the sun, and you get healthy. And then that love, when it shines on you and warms you, you go and shine it into others by doing things for them and giving them the gospel. And you keep yourself in the love of God. And then it says you look for the mercy of the Lord when He comes back. In other words, the worse, the longer you live in the world, the worse it's going to get. And you're going to need the Lord to get you out. So you're looking. You're putting your hope in the Lord. And that gives you the assurance, hey, I really was saved, am being saved, and will be saved. I really am a child of God. And that's why it says in Hebrews, and I'll read it, verse 11 of chapter 6. It says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You see, you need to make a diligent use of the means of God giving you grace. And that's prayer, that's reading the Word, that's looking and learning about the second coming. That is all of the things about keeping yourself in the love of God by taking in His love and giving it out to others. All of that, listen to me, it will make you to be assured. Oh, I am being proven to be a child of God. I am proven to be the elect of God. And I have the grace of God in my life. And it's shown in the assurance of your calling and election. And if you read the book of Hebrews, it was written to three different types of people in the congregation. They were all Jews. Number one, it was written to people that were really born again, and He wanted to strengthen them. Number two, it was written to people that they were almost convinced to believe on Christ, but they haven't really been convinced that He is the Savior, so they haven't quite believed yet. And number three, it was written to people who had a head faith that Jesus was the Messiah, but they really didn't have it in their heart. They hadn't really trusted Him and been born again. And so they were going to go back to the high priest. They were going to go back to the old church. They were going to go back to the old religion and stand away from the... Because this is an invisible priest. We're being persecuted. This is too tough. I'm going to go back. That shows they never had faith. Faith is the substance of the invisible things, and it causes you to, it stands under you, and you can walk on it. It's firm. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith. Do you have true faith? If you do, then see, you will want to come to church. You'll want to read your Bible. You'll want to pray. You'll want to try to help to get the gospel out to others. This is what we're talking about. Where are you today? Are you truly saved? Are you somebody that's almost convinced, but you need to be convinced and believe upon Christ? Or have you believed, but just in your head? You haven't trusted Him in your heart to save you. You need to respond in the right way to have that true faith in Christ and to feed your faith. And let me just say that the proof of your salvation is shown in three tenses of salvation. It's shown in the perseverance of the grace of God in your life, and it's shown in the assurance that He gives you that you are called, that you are somebody that's elect and and by grace you're saved. May God help you to have that and strengthen you. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed, and we've been